Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 yo! What's up, everybody? Today is November 5th. You got Peter Richardson coming at you again with my new series of interviews. Today I got Mr. Sean Burns, former Texas Tech offensive lineman, man. This guy protected cats like Michael Crabb, Graham Harrell, Baron Batch. I'm telling you, this guy right here is a protector. I'm telling you, tune in to the interview. But at the meantime, listen to So Wake Me Up When It's All Over. Hey, one of my favorite songs right after of it. Get right into the interview. God bless, baby. You got to excuse my singing right there. But once again, man, today is November 5th. It is exactly 9:05 p.m. 2013, almost to the end of the year, man. I cannot believe the kind of year it has been. Definitely been a roller coaster, definitely been a blessing. I love it. I love it. I love it. But once again, my name is Peter Richardson, owner and sole creator of Save When Our Athletes Respectfully. And tonight, you guys, tonight I have...
a 2005. I know that might seem like a long ago, but it definitely was not. But 2005 recruit coming into Texas Tech, came straight up out of the AZ, Arizona is what I mean. This is one of the coolest guys I know. He came in, worked hard. I mean, Texas Tech, we would not have been able to pull off that victory in 2008 against the Texas Longhorns without this guy, man. But we'll have on the line right here, I have Mr. Sean Burns. Hey, Mr. Burns, how you doing tonight, my man? Oh, man, hold up. Give me 1 second. Hold up. Oh, man, I can't believe that. I actually had him on mute. My bad, Mr. Burns. You still there, man?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Oh, man, good job, man. Hey, sorry about that. I forgot to hit the unmute button. I was so in tune to the song right there, man. But, hey, go ahead and let the people know where you from, my man. Tell them, just let them know where you from right now.
I am from the great city of Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, man. Straight Phoenix, Arizona, man. We actually had a bowl game down there, right? There was an insight bowl. Insight Bowl, correct?
Yep, back in 2006.
Back in 2006. Oh, man, that was a great game. But, hey, Mr. Burns, well, go ahead and tell us briefly about your journey, your college experience, socially and academically, my man.
My journey, started off with recruiting out to Tech. I was actually only offered the last week of recruiting in high school. Coach Leach and them came in maybe 8 days before signing day, saw me, threw me an offer. I was previously committed to New Mexico. They revoked my scholarship when I decided to take my official visit to Tech. So right then and there, when they called me to tell me that they're pulling the scholarship, I called Coach Leach and committed. And then I finished high school out, working hard. I got to Tech the summer of 2005. Redshirted that year, learned a lot, great developmental year, academically, athletically, just becoming a young man out there, throughout the next 4 years, playing as a backup as a redshirt freshman and starting throughout the, next 3 years. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Somebody came in.
There is one point that I want to express right there, Mr. Burns. There's one point. You said you were off for 8 days before signing day. Oh my goodness, man. That's a great point because that's whenever you were offered, and then you ended up, redshirting and then coming a 3 year starter. Right now, there's cats out there right now because, coming up through high school, it's so easy to get sidetracked and so easy to basically give up on that scholarship or anything like that. You're committed to New Mexico, but it was 8 days before signing day to actually Texas Tech gave you an offer. So what I want to tell you young guys out there, man, keep going, stay strong, and keep that end goal in mind because this cat, he could have just gave up and instead of keep staying positive. And then when Mike Leach came and approached him and threw him that scholarship, man, so you never know when it's going to come. So, Mr. Burns, tell us a little bit touch a little bit more on that academically, man, how was it your freshman year, that transition coming from high school into your first year of college? How was that transition for you, man?
The biggest part of the transition was forcing yourself to class at different times of the day. In high school, same thing every day, Monday through Friday, 7 to 3 or whatever your schedule is. Get to college, you might get a night class in, you might have gaps in between classes. And, now you're responsible to go to those on your own. You got to force yourself there. You're tired, especially if you're redshirt and you're working out 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and then you got practice that afternoon. So the transition is really just taking responsibility upon yourself to force yourself to attend class, attend study hall, attend group meetings outside of class, study on your own. That would be the biggest part that I'd say where the transition you got to get used to.
Oh yeah, man, you gotta get used to going to class, because whenever you're in high school, I don't know how it is for you in Arizona, but you know, growing up in Oklahoma, we actually had what, 7 periods, and it started from what 7:50 a.m. and we ended up having football as our seventh hour at the end of the day, which was around, I want to say, maybe like 2:50 or something. Man, that was so long ago, it's so hard to remember. I took a lot of hits to the head. You know, we're playing sports, you know, and since then. But so when you're a freshman, you know, it's hard. It's that transition. You just got to yourself to go to class, like Mr. Burns said. So let the people know, Mr. Burns, what was your favorite game here at Tech? Because, man, we played in a great time, a great era. We had a great strength coach. We had a great head coach, great assistant coach, Mr. Coach Ruffin. We had great athletes to come through here, and you becoming a 3-year starter. Tell us about your favorite game here, man.
Yeah, that'd be hard. You know, I could list off quite a few, but if I were to single one out, I'd have to go with my last game as a senior, the Alamo Bowl out there in San Antonio, Texas. You know, it was a special
game.
Wow. I'm going to say it's a special game, you know, being the last one with the week that went on, you know, with all the drama with Coach and everything happened, Coach Ruffin McNeil taking over, just always an ESPN that week about Coach Leach, just all the adversity we could have let mess our game up and screw us up, we didn't. And, you know, and then I just think about the last drive of that game. Coach McNeil just went for it on fourth down twice in the very last drive, and we ended that drive off with, I think, a 20-something yard touchdown run to Baron Batch to seal the deal. So that game would be pretty special. And
Yeah, man. You're exactly right there. The Alamo Bowl, man, I was actually watching that game on TV. You know, I had actually transferred out, you know, before that, man, and it was such an amazing game to watch. And you're right, there was a lot of things going around at that time, and you guys did not let that adversity distract you guys. You guys went out there, you guys kept fighting hard. And for you guys, man, this guy, man, he protected, man. Without the offensive linemen, you know, the team is nothing, you know. And the same thing on the other side of the ball, without a defensive lineman, you know, the defense is nothing. So, man, I really want to take my hat off to you guys. You guys converted on those last fourth downs and just making it do what it do, you know what I mean? So,
yes, sir.
Which brings me into my next question. What was the best part about playing for a team like Texas Tech? You know, down here in Lubbock, Texas, there's not really much down here in Lubbock, but the city is amazing. We got great people down here. We have great fans. I want to shout out to the fans. They just love, especially this year, everybody coming together and that excitement playing here in Lubbock for Texas Tech. So what, in your eyes, what was the best part of playing for Texas Tech?
Well, you know, I think you hit on a bunch of them right there as far as the fans, the town, the city, the school, the support of the student body. You know, as always, just always a blessing to be a part of that. But I'd say another thing would be your teammates, you know, your coaches and your teammates that you're with year in and year out, you know, building that camaraderie with them and enjoying that time, you know, time in the locker room, the time traveling, the times in the hotel, the times at the bowl games, you know, that would be one of my favorite parts of it, you know. And I think another thing about being at Texas Tech is we were pretty much always the underdog. You know, we were always considered just a little bit worse than Texas, A&M, Oklahoma. We were always just visualized like that. So we always played with a chip on our shoulder, and we were a bunch of, you know, tough blue-collar kids that always had that chip ready to come out and fight every week.
Yes, man, you are exactly right, man. It became so common, you know, even if we were ranked ahead of those guys, you know, some they were still be the favorite, and it was like we going against, especially in 2008, you know, I just remember that whole atmosphere of that game, and even whenever we beat OU, we beat what OU and what 05, but then we beat them again. It was just we were always you know, the underdog, man. I'm so glad you touched on that point. So tell us something, because we have, you know, those 17 or 18 year olds coming out of high school. Also, we have the 21 to 22 year olds coming into conclusion of the last football season right now. You know, it's November. You separate the contenders from the pretenders. And also, if you're a senior in college, not only do you have your season to focus about, but you also have your career. I mean, let me say that again. Not only do you have the season to worry about, but you also have your career. So, coming from somebody who's done it, and right now who's career-wise and is in real estate right now, man. So tell us, what was your mindset after during the last season of your football season?
You know, I think my mindset was strictly football. You know, I thought I was one of the guys that was going to be able to make it at the next level. You know, so I finished the year out strong. We won the Alamo Bowl game, and then I moved back to Arizona, and I started training out here with a former teammate of mine at Tech, another offensive lineman named Stephen Handy. You know, we came out here for, I think, 12 weeks, trained together every day in the weight room, on the field, and that was my mindset then. You know, if I could go back, I would change it a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, you said you would change a little bit, but let's elaborate on that, man. If you could tell somebody right now that was in your same shoes, what would you tell them? What would you tell that guy right now?
I would definitely stay fully committed to my training with football, but at the same time, on the side, going into my senior year, and I think maybe even earlier than that, if I could go back, things I would do differently would really focus on what my future was going to be after football. You know, that's one thing I could change. I would really harp to any young athlete in college coming to his last couple of years, kids going into college, to make sure they're working towards something that's after football, because it's going to come to an end, whether it's right after college, you have a 10-year NFL career, there's going to be an end to football. So to really, you know, and you're going to hear this over and over, and I heard it over and over, and I never really took it to heart, and I never really followed through with all the advice that I got. You know, and I found out the harder way come post-football. You know, it took me a couple of years to find my niche and what I wanted to do in my business life. So if I were to do anything different, I would network, or I'd find out maybe what field I wanted to get into outside of football, and I'd really push my networking skills and as far as that, looking for a job to be set up for me right after football. And I would stay in tune with that, but at the same time, not give up on your dream to play professional football or post-college football, whether it be overseas or whatever your case may be. That would be one thing I'd do different.
Wow. Did you guys hear that, man? I don't know. It's one word that Mr. Burns just said, and it really stuck out to me, and that was network. You know, not give up on your dream, but also network, you know, and try to find that field and trying to find out what you want to do on life after football, because football is only phase one of your life. And just like Mr. Burns said, you can have a 10-year career in the NFL, you know, or playing overseas or anything, but that's only phase one. So whatever you do, you know, football is going to come to an end. So career-wise, you have to think about it. I mean, it's life. Life is a game for everyone, you know, and the price is love. And that's just real. That's about as real as it gets. So Mr. Burns, was it hard for you to focus on school while you were playing sports?
I think you'll definitely have your distractions. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, you're playing college football. You know, you're a star of a city. You have a lot of distractions, but you're on a bunch, however many thousands of 18 to 23-year-olds. But at the same time, Tech had a very strong support staff academically to keep you focused, to keep you on track, counselors to help you, tutors, mentors. They had all the tools to help you. It's just if you took advantage of them, which I did, you know, that's one thing I'll say I did do. I always handled my responsibilities when they needed to be handled. You know, I never failed a class, never did anything like that, but there were times that it was a struggle. to get to class. When something else could have, you know, sounded better to do, you just got to force yourself to put your academic priorities first before your social life, you know, because there's plenty of time in the day to handle your social life. So make sure you handle your academics first.
Yes, sir, man, that's completely right. Just make sure you handle those academics first. And then, like we were talking about earlier, you know, sometimes, like when you then that freshman year, you finally getting used to your different schedule because your classes are not all back-to-back. You might have a class at 8. You might not have another class till 11. And then I know for us, we will go to special teams around 1. But then, in between those hours, you might have guys – or maybe females, because, you know, like you said, we're very known in the community, like females in you up, like, hey, let's go do this, or hey, let's do that, and which become distractions, but only if you let it, you know. So nothing's easy in this world, and nothing worth having comes easy. So what Mr. Burns is trying to say, you don't let the distractions get the best of you. So what's one thing would you tell someone playing college sports right now?
Yeah, man, I'd have to just go back and I'd say that you hit it after I said it would be the networking. You know, if I was to go back, you know, and I would just say this, what I may do different, what I would network outside the football world. Your whole life is going to be built around football. You know, you're going to be at football facilities every day, you know, regardless of season. You're always going to be up there. You're always going to be around your teammates. Your teammates are going to be your brothers and the guys you hang out with outside of football. You know, if there's one thing I could have done, I would force myself to join a different group, a different, you know, whatever, campus life, be a part of something different to expand my network, you know, maybe get involved in the major that you're in, get involved in their club, their, you know, an engineering club or whatever your specific study may be, you know, to focus on life after football, because the football part comes easy. It's going to be your everyday grind. It's going to be everything you do all day. You know, force yourself to branch out of that and find out what life is outside of football. There's a lot of other stuff that you'll soon find out when football comes to an end.
Oh, man. Oh, man, if I could high five you right now, I sure would, man, because you said join a club. Join a club. Man, there's many times where us as athletes were offered to go to maybe visit a hospital, maybe go to go talk to some elementary kids, or within on the academically standpoint of it, you know, sometimes I know I had pretty good tutors, man. They would tell us about different groups or different things going on in the community or on campus that majority of times we'd be so tired after practice. And I know it's sad to say, but I'm just going to keep it real, but some people be like, man, I'm not going to that whack stuff. You know, and that's just having that mindset of, you know, well, I'm just going to make it to the league. But we really don't tend to focus on those things or really appreciate those things from playing football until basically our career is over. Because I speak for myself, it's just like I really wasn't too much into that. But now you catch me at everything. You see what I'm saying? You catch me at everything, you know, and just like, man, just imagine if I still play sports, and that's what really led me to doing some sore, because I'm like, man, I know there's different cats out there with the same mindset, so it's like it's trying to make a difference and let them guys know it's like, hey, man, that stuff is not whack. That stuff is cool for you to go out and branch out to the community and, like you said, network. So Mr. Burns, so right now it's 2013. Go ahead and let everybody know what you're up to now, my man.
Nowadays, you know, I'm back in Arizona. I'm actually a real estate agent / investor. You know, I go around flipping properties, property managing, listing houses, selling houses for other people, representing buyers throughout the greater Phoenix area. You know, we have quite a few cities that surround us, the Metroplex, Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa, Surprise, some cities that surround Phoenix. That's what I do right now in a nutshell.
Oh, man, that's pretty awesome right there, man. I want to take my hat off to you, man. Keep going. Stay strong. How did you come about getting into that field so we can let these guys know basically, which voice did you listen to in your head, and did you just go with that gut feeling? Is this something that you just fell into, or was it something you prayed about, or was it was just you using it as a stepping stone to get to where you ultimately want to be?
Actually, man, you know, like I said, when football came to an end, I was kind of at a I don't know what to do now. You know, what's next type deal. I started volunteering at my high school as a coach. I actually got a job at Costco because I just needed money coming in right away. I tried out bartending, and then I actually worked for a vending company for a good amount of time, and it was just kind of what's next. You know, these are all dead-end jobs. They're not going to lead anywhere. And like I said, I didn't make the effort in college to network, find out what was next. And, you know, I knew my hard work could pay off in a certain field, and I had some former high school teammates actually that got into the field, and they kind of, you know, seeing how they were doing in the field, how, you know, what their lifestyle was like. They were their own boss. You know, you don't answer to no one. You work on your own time. How hard you work, you know, is how much you're going to get paid. You know, you want to work hard, you're going to be successful. You want to be a slouch, you know, it's not going to be the same. So I started seeing them, and then one of my really good friends I've known since I was like 10 kind of was like, you know what, pull the trigger, go back to school. So I went to real estate school out here in Arizona earlier this year, finished that out, passed all my license tests, state, national, all these boards, got it, and man, it's been everything I've wanted since.
Everything you wanted since, man. Hey, that's what's up, Burns. That's what's up. Definitely, man. You're inspiration to me. You're inspiration, I'm sure, to those guys back home. And I know there's somebody, especially on the football team, that's looking up to you. That may not be playing center. You know, they could be guard or tackle. You know, left or right guard or tackle. There's somebody that's out there that's trying to follow into your footsteps. So I really want to encourage you to keep going and keep soaring. Most importantly, you know, this is what I say to cats who I run into all the time. It don't matter what you've done or what you've been through. Life is about making your dreams, dreams come true. But hey, I have one more question, Mr. Burns, that I ask everybody that comes on the show. Everybody that comes on the show, you can't get off of the show without asking this question, which is, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years from now, you know, I see myself staying here for the most part in Phoenix with the intentions on being one of the top real estate investors and agents throughout the valley. You know, that's my goal, to be in the top percent. Hopefully, you know, maybe the chance of being married with kids. I don't know, 5 years is quite a ways from now. But as far as career-wise, I see myself at the top of the real estate market out here in Arizona.
Oh, man, I know you can do it. And if there's any advice that I can give you into advancing in the corporate world and the professional workforce, use that same work ethic that we had in football. You know, when you're put in extra time in the film room, where you, whenever you may be doing something that at a time of the day where it wasn't mandatory for us to do something, where we would do, when we would just go do it on our own. You know, that's what I tell these cats around here. Is use that same work ethic that you had on the football field and transition it to the professional world. Well, all right, Mr. Burns, that concludes the end of our interview, man. Is there one thing that you want to tell someone? Is there a quote that you live by or anything that you want to say? The floor is yours. You have it for 10 seconds, my man.
You know, I would just tell everyone to work hard every day, man. Success comes with consistency. You got to do it every day. You know, make sure you grind it out every day and always be positive, man. It could always be worse.
Ooh-wee. Hey, that's so real. Grind it out every day. Be consistent. It can always be worse. Hey, man, it's really been my pleasure, Mr. Burns. I look forward to seeing you this weekend when all the Texas Tech Red Raiders go be here against Kansas State. I really can't wait. All right, man, have your safe trip down here, and you have yourself a blessed night, all right?
Yes, sir. You too, B.
All right, man. Great talking to you. Have a great night.
You too, bro.
All right. That was Mr. Burns right there. My time is running short right now. Catch me tomorrow. I got Eugene Nebo, former quarterback, Texas Tech quarterback alumni. It's been my pleasure. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Save an eye for your specialty, Peter Richardson. Have a blessed night. See you guys tomorrow night. Bye-bye.